I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Karen and Merima and our special guest, Jessica Shervington. So hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. That's another Australian.
Yay!
Learn even numbers. So watch yourself, ladies. I come in for you.
So today we're going to get started off, as always, with what we're reading. And Jessica, you are our guest, so would you like to start? Have you been reading anything interesting this last couple of weeks, or for you whenever?
Yeah, look, I'm right in the thick of writing at the moment, so I have not read anything for about 2 weeks, which is sort of something that puts me into this slightly convulsing state of withdrawals. But when I'm writing, I just sort of avoid everything else. But before that, I read an older book of Dan Brown's, Deception Point, which I quite enjoyed. And have just downloaded Chloe Neal's new Chicagoland Vampires book, Wild Things, which is probably one of the only vampire series that I've just never been able to sort of veer away from. So I'm looking forward to reading that.
All right, great. Hey, Karen, what have you been reading this week?
Oh, man, I've been pretty busy. So the most that I've been reading is Strunken White's The Elements of Style, which I know is, like, super exciting because it's all about grammar. But that's as far as I've gotten this week.
So you've read a grammar book this
yes.
week.
Yes. I love it. So exciting.
This says so much about your personality.
So does.
Thanks.
So fitting. All right, Merima, what have you been reading this week?
Well, a little bit more exciting than Karen. So last night I read two books. I read The Intern by Gabrielle Toza, which is, it's pretty cute. It's about this girl that does an internship at a magazine, and it's sort of a young adult, The Devil Wears Prada in a way. It's pretty, yeah, it's pretty fun. And I enjoyed that a lot. It was a pretty easy read, but yeah, that was nice. And then I also read Side Effects May Vary by Julie Murphy, which I have talked about numerous times, I think, this year, because I was so excited to finally get it. And it's about the girl who is diagnosed with leukemia, and then she has this bucket list of all these things she wants to do. And so, you know, she does all these things, no regrets, la, la, la. And then she goes into remission, and she has to deal with the fallout of, like, all of these things that she's done. It is, I'll write a review on it, so it'll be up on Hyperball sometime soon, but it's a pretty tough read because she's not a very likable narrator, but it's split between her and this friend of hers who is a bit better in a way, so they sort of balance each other out. And then also, funnily enough, I read Disruption by Jess Shervington.
Yay!
And I wrote a, yay! And I did a little spoiler-free review, so people can check that out without being spoiled on the details. But it was really good, and I was very disappointed when the book ended because I want to read the next one. And, yeah, it's got one – I think it's got one of my new favorite sort of sidekick characters that I've read in a really long time. So I kind of am begging for a spin-off. Novella, hint, hint, just if you felt so inclined.
I will get right on that for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. You could just email that straight to me. That will be fine.
Yep, no problem, no problem. We'll just set up a direct link. And
perfect. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's it for my week.
Okay, this week, I actually didn't get to that many books this week. I read The 57 Lives of Alex Wayfair. It's by M.G. Brulin, and it comes out on Tuesday, and it's a really cool time travel book. It's not like a typical time travel. It's about this girl who, she's 17 years old, and she has these really vivid, what she thinks are dreams. So she has visions where she feels like she's on a ship bound for America, or she's on, you know, the Ferris wheel at the World's Fair. And come to find out, she's actually traveling to those places when she has these visions. So it's this really cool concept of time travel where she ascends limbo. And she jumps space between life and afterlife. So she has 56 past lives to live. So she goes to all these different past lives. And there are these people that are starting to hunt her because she's a descender and they don't like descenders. They don't want people to be able to do that. So it's this really cool kind of adventure time travel book that's not your typical kind of time travel. So I really enjoyed it. It's well written. It's got a lot of action in it. So you don't, you know, it's not just like, oh, it time travels here and there. There's a lot of jumping from different, you know, like places and which body she's in. So it's really cool. I really, really enjoyed it. And it comes out on Tuesday. And then I started to read. I haven't gotten too far into it yet. The Queen of Tierling. So I started that. It's Bitch. Really interesting.
Don't cut that out. You're such a tease.
It's not my fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly what I was thinking. Just
and you're like, it was bad enough when you were teasing us about it, because we've known that you've had it for a while, but then you like get on Twitter and you're like, what are you guys reading? I'm reading Queen of Tierling. What up?
And I never do that. I did it once.
I know. And everyone was like,
screamed at me.
Yeah, everyone started yelling, so Sam's right. Anyway, is it good?
It's really good. It's well written. Like, I like the way she writes. It takes a little bit to get into it because the world is so deep. She has to really like build and layer the world. So it does take a little bit, but once you're in it, it's really, really good. So it just takes, you know, those, like when you have really big fantasy worlds, you can't just jump right into them. It's not the way it works. You have to lay the groundwork. So you have to get through that. But once you're, like I said, once you're there,
is it a series?
It will be, yeah. But this is the first book, and it comes out in July. So, that's what I read this week. Moving on before anyone else yells at me. Let's move on to Book Bites, because this is a really fun kind of topic we have tonight. And it's to buy or not to buy books that are reprinted with new covers. So, Karen, I know you may or may not have some feelings about this, because the Percy Jackson series just got a whole entire facelift. So why don't you go ahead and talk to us a little bit about how you feel about new covers?
Yeah, it's kind of hard, really, to decide one way or the other, because basically, yeah, the Percy Jackson books have been out for almost 10 years now, and they just got all new covers. So it's, you know, it's about time that they did, and I can understand why they're updating it. Usually, I'm like, I want the original covers how they were when they were first printed. I don't know why, but that's just always kind of been my thing. And I don't like it when the books have like the movie pictures on it. It's just not the same to me. But these new Percy Jackson covers are really nice. And they were done by the same artist, John Rocco, who did the originals. And they're basically the same covers with a little bit more color. They're updated a little bit. Most of them are pretty much the same, like, design. So there really isn't a whole lot of difference. And I quite like them. I was really surprised. And I think I may actually get the set because they're just... they're really pretty.
I like the Percy Jackson covers a lot, but I don't read Percy Jackson. But like what you were just saying about how they're not that different, that would be why I wouldn't buy them. Because, you know, it's like you've already got them.
Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth right now with the fans because it's kind of funny because everyone was like, oh, we don't need new covers. We like the old ones, blah, blah, blah. And then you have them come in. They're like, well, I don't like them because they're pretty much the same. Which seems really, like, counterproductive to me. I don't know. But I really like the... I think they stand out on the shelf a bit more, and they look a little more updated and grown up. I mean, it's a middle grade series, but the other ones seemed a lot more juvenile, and I think maybe this way the new covers will kind of entice older readers to give them a chance, because Percy Jackson is great for any age, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you about those covers. I have to say my thing about new covers is my entire life I have always thought that people who bought sets of books in all various covers were kind of ridiculous because it just seemed like a waste of money, I think, to me, because I was always like, well, but think about how many books you could buy that you don't already own if you didn't buy every set of Harry Potter covers, you know. But I have always had a thing about I want to keep the same covers in a set. So whichever set of covers I've committed to, which is just, you know, whichever one I've found first, then if it's a series, I have to get them all in that set because I hate having, for example, like the Game of Thrones books come in like 45 different covers and all different sizes, but I have to make sure that they're all the same, which is actually really tough when you're in a bookstore and you're like, which one of these do I have? Because otherwise on your bookshelf just looks so weird. And Karen, I'm sure that would bother you as well if you had one that was...
yes.
Like from a different set, right?
Yes, actually, that's what happened with Vampire Academy is I have the first book and the fifth book in the hardcover with like the faces on them, the girls, and then I have two, three, and four in the paperback with like they're all kind of matching and in different colors, and it really bugs me. But they were the only covers that I could find, and they were way cheaper, so I kind of just gave in this time.
Yeah.
It happens. It was also necessity. You needed to get through those books.
Yes.
Yes. See, for me, what really bothers me is when we get books that are like halfway through a series and they decide halfway through the series they're going to change the covers.
What could you be talking
So
about?
there are so many to choose from. Well, across the universe, literally the first book in that series has three different covers and none of them match. Like, the third one matches the rest of the books. But like you can't get a matching set unless you buy them all at the very end once the series is out, and then they redid the covers for the third time. Otherwise, the covers don't match. If you got the first one, you could get one book to match that. Then they switched them over again, so you had a first and second one that matched. Then they switched them over again so that
What
all three of them
series?
match. It's called Across the Universe by Beth
Yeah,
Revis.
that's similar to the Nightshade series. They did something similar with that too.
Yes, they did
Yeah,
actually.
yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. So they also have The Curse Workers by Holly Black, and the way they redid them, like the first set had like people on them, so they kind of matched the theme and the vibe of the book. And then the second set was like, and it reminds me of like, I don't know, something from the 70s disco because of the coloring and the way the people are on the covers. It's like the dot paintings. So it's so strange because it has absolutely nothing to do with the book. So I'm like, why are you putting a cover on it that means nothing? That has nothing to do with the book. I am so confused.
I like those ones better though, even though they have very little to do with the books.
I
I think they're
do. I
nicer.
like them. They're nice covers, but once you read what's in the book, you have absolutely no idea why that cover would be on there. It makes absolutely no sense. So it's really weird that they changed it to something that's, yeah, super appealing, but really doesn't make any sense with the book. Anyway,
So
but do you want
I have to say quickly, like the reason I want to talk about this is because, you know, I've had this basically this rule my life of just like don't rebuy books, that's silly. And the one that has broken me are the new Stephanie Perkins books, because Jen and I have talked about our love for Anna and the French Kiss before, but the covers on those books were pretty horrendous. And the new ones are so nice, but the worst thing is they're not finishing the first series. So they're having the third book is coming out later this year, but it's not going to be in the style of the old covers. It's only going to be in the new covers. So you either have one book that doesn't match, or you have to buy the other two. And I have to say, I'm leaning towards buying the other two because they're so nice, and I really want them on my shelf. And then maybe I could give away the others.
Yeah,
There you
it's
go.
the thing with covers is that authors have very little say in covers, and when publishing houses revamp or new people come in and they want to take a new approach with a series, it can happen very quickly. And bookstores also have a lot of input. So the larger chains might say, look, it's great, we want to keep going with this series, but it hasn't been selling really well off the shelf, so we think you should redo the cover or have another look at it. And then everything gets overhauled and changed, and all of a sudden, you know, the whole look is different. So it's really hard to, as an author, try and steer that ship when it becomes something that's all about sort of selling out on shelves and what the perception is that people want.
Yeah, I feel like we should apologize to authors. We're not having a go at you, just at like the book covers in general.
Yeah.
Oh,
And
no. For authors too, it's equally frustrating. There have been times when I've seen a book cover for one of my books come out in another market. So my Embrace series has been published in a number of countries, and in every single country it has a different cover. So I see all different interpretations of it, and some are just so perfect, and I want to cuddle the book and go to bed with it at night because I love the cover so much. And it's this huge sense of relief when you first get sent the cover, and you're like, oh, I love it, I love you, I love you. And then you get the other ones where you're like, ooh. What, ooh, what happened there? I have no idea how that cover came to be, but you know, but you also have to sort of trust that each market and each publishing house in their market kind of know what they're doing.
This is true, because I've seen someone, is it the Hex Hall covers by Rachel Hawkins, her, like, I think it's her Czech Republic ones are like crazy. The girls in the front are very scantily clad, which is nothing to do with the book. There's a cat on the front of them. There's no cat in the book because it's about, like, witches. So obviously there should be a cat. And I think there's, like, a spider or something really odd as well. And I'm like, So I know Rachel's brought that up a couple of times. And it's really funny when you look at comparatively from market to market what each cover looks like.
Yeah. Sometimes the new covers are so perfect, though. Like, I just got sent the new cover for Alibrandi, which is Melina Marchetta, my, you know, number one, her first book. And they're republishing it as, like, a children's classic. So it's got this beautiful hardcover. It's kind of a little bit cartoony on the front. It's just so nice. And you know what? I would definitely buy this again because the book had, I'm not a huge fan of covers in general with actors on them. Just, I don't know why. I think it's kind of like your movie thing, Karen. I don't know why. I just don't want people on my books. But, you know, that seems to be the thing that happens now. So, you know, my cover of Alibrandi is like worn out and, yeah, it's an okay cover, but this cover is really lovely. So sometimes it works well with the redesign.
Speaking of which, there's one, and you guys will not be surprised by this, but there's one book cover that I will be buying that has the movie cover on it, and that's The Maze Runner, because...
You just want Dylan O'Brien's face on a book.
Yeah. Yes, I do, and I'm ashamed. So when that comes out later this year, I think in August or something like that, I'm going to be buying
it. It'll probably be out.
And let's be real, if that was a Divergent one with Theo James on it, Jen, you would be buying it too.
No, I don't need a cover, like a book for this.
I don't,
like,
need it.
I don't know.
He's already wallpapered all over my ceiling. I don't need a book.
He most certainly is not. I just find him attractive, as we've already established.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. Okay. And he'll be on the big screen in a couple of weeks, so I'll have plenty to drool over then.
True.
Yep, yep. Okay, so let's move on from Book Bite.
And now we're going to have a little bit of a chat with Jess, because it's very exciting to have you on Book Hype. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
A little rundown. So Jess is the best-selling author of the Embrace series, and you've also written Between the Lives, which is a standalone, and now you've got Disruption, which is the first book in your new series, but it's going to be a two-part series instead of a trilogy.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I thought was very interesting. So can you tell us a little bit about sort of how you came into publishing and your journey as an author up to this point?
Yeah, I kind of just fell into it. I was living in London with my husband, and I had a business over there which was sort of importing fine food products from Italy and France and sort of distributing them in the UK and Ireland. So a really different sort of business. But then I had my first daughter, and we decided we wanted to move back to Australia and raise our family here. And so I sold the company and we moved back to Australia, and I had my second daughter. And suddenly for the first time, I wasn't sort of working these crazy hours since I finished school, and I just had a bit of time to sort of sit back and think about what I really wanted in life. And I was reading a lot, like copious amounts of books, and between sort of looking after the kids, that was sort of really all I was doing. And my husband was horrified, but I think it was just, you know, for me, a way of sort of processing my thoughts at that time. And then one morning I finished a book, and I just, instead of opening another one, I just opened my laptop and started writing, and that was the beginning of the first book in the Embrace series. So it happened quite kind of quickly from there, and I've been extremely lucky, and you know, I've been so humbled along the way by the reaction to the books, and also just thrilled to have the opportunity to keep writing. So that's what I've been doing since then, just loving writing and moving forward with stories, and hoping to have each time the opportunity to write another one. And so the series has been great, and book 5 is out in Australia, but it comes out in the US in May, so I'm looking forward to that. And that's the final book in the series. And apart from that, I've got standalone Between the Lives, which I sort of wrote in between book 4 and 5 in the series, because I just wanted – I was getting to that point where I was like, okay, you're writing a series and it's going well, but can you write anything else? And I was like, oh, I don't know. So I kind of stopped everything and wanted to pay attention to this story that I had in mind, and I loved writing that. I had a lot of fun with it, and the story meant a lot to me. So that one comes out in America in July, but it's got a different title there. It's called One Past Midnight there. So I'm looking forward to that coming out as well. And Disruption, which is the first in a 2-book series, and that is out in Australia and New Zealand at the end of March. I think it's the 24th.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that one too, because it's really different. My series is very much that paranormal urban fantasy style. And then the standalone is, although it's got this slightly paranormal element to it, to me I sort of think of it more of as a sort of contemporary psychological conglomerate of things. And Disruption is more of a, I guess you'd put it in that sort of sci-fi thriller category. But to me, I just think of it as a sort of modern twist, I suppose, on a sort of probably high action story with it revolving around a female heroine. So I've had lots of fun with that one too, so I can't wait to get it out there.
Yeah, I have to say I absolutely loved Between the Lives, so I definitely recommend people pick up a copy of that. It's out in the States on July 22nd. Like Jess said, it's sort of this, contemporary, psychological, supernatural. It's sort of based around alternate realities in a way, and it's very cool. I think, Jen, that you would be a fan of that one. So...
Cool,
yeah.
I will definitely be looking for it then.
Yeah, that's a nice little break. Speaking of, so like you said, the last book in your Embrace series comes out in the States in May, and it's already come out in Australia. Seeing as your first series was like incredibly, incredibly popular, do you feel any kind of pressure going into the Disruption series, seeing as it's the first series you've had since the Embrace?
Yeah, I do. I am definitely, I really admire authors that can sort of say that they just write solely what they want. I mean, as an author, I'm quite kind of aware of what sort of people want as well. And I try to give people what they want within a story that I feel is really entertaining and really what I would want to read on the page as well. So knowing that the series has done well, it is about finding that balance, but also wanting to write something new that you haven't written before. So, and that's why I'm sort of enjoying each time I write a new book, I'm moving it a little bit out of its sort of subgenre, so away from paranormal or then away from, you know, into something new that is an interesting challenge, but can also be received by the readers who kind of follow my books. It's my writing and it's my style, but it's a new world. And I think that's, for me, that's the way I kind of handle that challenge and enjoy introducing something new to readers all the time.
Cool. We're going to head into some news in a minute, but before we do, I wanted to just talk a little bit about Disruption. So obviously... it's not set for a US release yet, but I have had the chance to read it and it is really, really fun. One of the most interesting things about Disruption is this sort of take on social media and new technology and things. Basically, you can head over to Hyperball to read. We've got the synopsis, we've got the introduction, the cover, all kinds of fun things that we'll link to in the show notes. Basically, it's about this girl, Maggie, who lives in this world that is sort of controlled by this company called the Mercer Corporation, and they basically control the world through pheromones because they've developed this technology that allows you to measure your pheromones against other people and work out what kind of match you'll be. So if you're, you know, like a true love match of 100%, which is super rare, or if you're sort of a, you know, a relationship match or a lost match or, you know, none of those things. Where did that idea come from? Because it's so creepy in a way. And yet, you know, where we're going with apps and everything, it seems possible at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that's why I loved the idea. It sort of started from like this silly conversation I was having with a friend of mine who was talking about online dating and the perils of modern dating. And we were laughing about it. And I said, well, wouldn't it be so funny if you could just walk past a person and know straight away, like, you know, they cross your path and you know what kind of, you know, chance you have at a future. And we were laughing about that and talking about all the scenarios that would happen if you could do that. And that started me thinking, and then I sort of started thinking about it a lot. And that's usually a good indication of, you know, a potential story when you can't actually get an idea out of your mind. And then I just sort of started thinking, how could it really happen if we were, and then that started the idea of the microchipping, and if microchips were internal, could they access our pheromone glands? And from there, how would we apply that sort of technology? And in a world where we're so tech savvy with iPhones and iPads and applications that we're all sort of honing in on for our everyday life, well, what if we could make that all internal? What if we could have applications for everything to do with our body and our history and our medical monitoring and blood alcohol level, to use as activations for our starting our car, to get into buildings, to control everything? Everything we would do would very quickly turn from external applications to internal applications, and you could imagine how obsessed we'd all become with it. And that's sort of where the idea originally came from.
I have a question. So this particular new series is going to be a duology rather than a trilogy. So was it hard to like sell a duology rather than a trilogy? Because I know lots of times publishing houses are looking for at least 3 books.
Not really, because originally I sort of thought, because I was working on Between the Lives at the time, or One Past Midnight, whichever country you're in, I thought I'd liked the idea of writing another standalone. So originally I went into writing Disruption thinking of it as a standalone, and I actually, it was funny that Marama mentioned sort of the little novellas or side stories, because originally I thought the idea of this technology would be so interesting to follow a number of different characters and their experiences with it, like the person who might walk the earth looking for their true match, or the person who settles for a, you know, long-term relationship match, but then suddenly they meet their true match and what happens, and all these things that could happen along the way. And I thought it would be just one book, but that followed all these sort of almost short stories of these people. But then I discovered Maggie's story and I just had to go with it. It just dominated all of my thoughts, and I knew that was the real story. So, and I got probably about halfway through it, and my publishers had actually come back to me and said, look, we love this. Do you think you could make it more than a standalone? And, you know, it seems like it should be a series. And I didn't know if I wanted to take it to a series sort of level, but then I did realize that there was 2 really solid books in it. And so I said, I don't want to take it to a full series or commit to a full series with it at this stage, but there's 2 really solid books there. So they were great with that, really supportive.
I'm just saying, if you decide to write that little short story book, I would definitely read it. So that would be great. I'm just putting my request in now.
Yeah, duly noted.
Yeah, on the list of things that I've asked you for so far in the last half an hour, we can add that on.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's just like when you think about it, just as a technology, this idea that we could rate everyone and what that would mean to, because it turns the whole idea of a social structure on its head. Suddenly looks and, you know, wealth and materialistic possessions and all of that kind of go out the window, because if you don't rate, there's no point. You know, so it's interesting.
I have to warn everyone, because I was not warned, that there is a killer cliffhanger at the end of Disruption. So be prepared for that. And then to hate whoever it was that told you to read it, but also love them, because I was quite mad when I got to the, because you know, when you get a proof and you're like, oh, there's more to go. And then you're like, oh, this is acknowledgements. Like, oh no. Oh, where's the rest of the book?
So that's never good.
Yeah. But the second book is on its way. And Jess, have you announced what the title of the second book is?
I don't know if it's been announced.
Because it's in the back of my copy. Like, I saw it and was like, oh, am I meant to?
I was the one that said it.
Yeah. Can we say what it is?
Throw it out there. Go on.
So the second book is called Corruption. That is on its way as well. So that's a book hype exclusive for you.
You did.
Yeah, there you go.
Book hype exclusive. Usually we joke about crazy things and say, it's a book hype exclusive, but this is a real one.
That's actually what it's called. It is in the back of my book that I was sent, that I didn't make up, I promise. Okay, cool. So I think we're going to jump into some news now. And Jess, we'd love to have your opinion on these things, and then we'll talk a little bit about some book deals as well.
So we're going to get on to the news section of our podcast this week. So, of course, what's a week without J.K. Rowling news? Because, I mean, really? Is there ever a week without news about her these days?
Only when we talk about the Vampire Academy for an hour and a half.
That's true. I think last week was the only week we didn't bring her up. So, this week we have news about the Cuckoo Calling sequel, which is The Silkworm, and it is set for a June release. So are you guys kind of excited about that? Do you want to see where this series is going to go?
I mean, I'm semi-excited about it, but I just can't muster the enthusiasm for a crime series that I have for other things. I don't know why. It just doesn't seem as exciting to me, although the cover is really nice.
Yeah, I feel kind of the same way, where I definitely want to read it, and I'm into staying with this series. But at the same time, it's not going to be at the top of my list, even though it is J.K. Rowling. But it's just, it doesn't have the same pull as a lot of the other books that we talk about and read on here. So,
well, I think oftentimes a lot of us read young adult books, so it's kind of hard to kind of switch gears into a grittier adult crime world and read it, maybe. That's why it has less appeal for us. I don't know.
Well, you guys know I read a lot of adult books.
Yeah, you do.
So it's really not that. And when I did read it, it was good. I enjoyed it a lot. I had to read it pretty quickly to do our review of it. I haven't gone back and read it since then because, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, well, I know who did it now. So, you know, until I forget who did it, I don't want to reread it because, you know, that's why I read crime books. I read mystery books like Agatha Christie. I adore Agatha Christie. And the reason that I like her so much is because she's written so many damn books that every time you go back and read one, you can't remember which one it is. You know, you can't remember like, wait, is this the one where the butler did it? Or is this the one where like the crazy cousin did it? Or, you know, is this the one where it's actually suicide? You know, you can never remember. So that's why I like them so much. But with something like this, I mean, it's enjoyable, it's fun, but I can't make myself excited about it just because it happens to be J.K. Rowling.
Jess,
I haven't read it, but I will read them, and I mean, from my point of view, I just commend J.K. Rowling for continuing to write, because she doesn't have to, you know, and she comes under such broad criticism, which is very much that sort of tall poppy syndrome, I think. And I think she's great to keep writing and keep doing what she obviously loves to do and does so well. So, I mean, I haven't sort of wanted to go and read the book, mostly because, you know, there's just so much opinion that sort of circulates around it all. And it's hard to pick up a book like that with a clear mind as a reader. And I think that that's a shame. I think it's a shame for J.K. Rowling, and it's a shame for readers that we can't kind of look at it with a bit of a clean slate. But and I think that's why she tried to do the whole pseudonym thing, but whether that worked for her or not, so sort of, you know, another question. But I'll definitely read them soon.
Okay, and then a secondary announcement came about this same series that there could be up to 7 books in this series. I think she likes the number 7 for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I get that feeling.
7's her lucky
magic
number.
Yeah.
So there's plenty more to come if that's the case. And that looks like what she'll be working on for quite some time. If she's planning on writing 7, that's going to take up some significant time. So
I really want to read, like, ages and ages and ages and years ago, she was talking about writing a political fairy tale. And yes. I want to read that. When is that coming out?
See, but I think she went the political route with the,
I know, with the casual vacancy.
One. Thank you. Like, yeah, that one.
Yeah, but I kind of was hoping that she still has, I don't know, an idea for that in her head, because that sounds so interesting to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, she could definitely take that to some really cool places.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. All right, next bit of news is Cassandra Clare, Queen of the Shadowhunters. We go from one queen to the next here, let me tell ya. Is writing another Shadowhunter series called The Last Hours. And I'll be honest, when I saw the announcement for this one, I maybe thought it was already actually announced, because I feel like every, like, time I turn around, there's a different Shadowhunter series she's announcing. Like, there's been so many. So I got a little confused on it. My bad. So this one will, let's see, this one will be set in London in 1903, and it'll be right between the Victorian and Edwardian eras, and it will focus on characters from the Infernal Devices. So most likely it will focus on Will and Tessa, and possibly their children or what have you. So there's going to be kind of that whole thing that's going to go with that. And as well, she also has the Dark Artifices book, and that will be published in 2015, and that one's called Lady Midnight, the first one in that. So there's a bunch, she has so many like Shadowhunter series that are branching off of the original two that it's really confusing at this point. So the Last Hour series will have 3 books, and it'll be based on Charles Dickens' Great Expectations. And the stories are Chain of Thorns, Chain of Gold, and Chain of Iron.
I really like all the titles she uses, like Clockwork Princess, and like, I just, her titles are always so interesting.
Yeah, her titles are impressive. So we will see where all of this goes. I'm kind of more excited for The Last Hours than I am for The Dark Artifices, because The Last Hours, I really like the Clockwork series a lot better, and I'm going to get hate mail, than the second half of the City of Bones, the Mortal Instruments series. Like, I could have done with those 6 books rather than that second set of Mortal Instruments books, because I don't know. But, so I'm really kind of actually looking forward to The Last Hours, but what I would love more than anything is to see Cassandra write something else, because I'm sure she can do it. Like, she's a talented writer, but I feel like I'm being overwhelmed with Shadowhunter lore constantly. So it would be nice to see her kind of maybe move out of her comfort zone a little.
Right, and there's those Magnus Bane short stories as well.
But she didn't write those.
No, but like, it's just more in that world.
Yeah, yeah. So. But Sarah Rhys Brennan and Maureen Johnson wrote those.
Yeah. I feel the same. I mean, I've read all of the Mortal Instruments. It's not really my thing, but they were fine. I guess I can understand, like, it is a really interesting world that she's created, and it does have this very cool lore behind it. So I can understand the temptation to want to keep writing about it if you've got more stories to tell. But I'm sort of with you, Jen. I would like her to, I would just be interested to see what else she would do, you know, and what other direction she would go from here. Because Supernatural kind of seems to be her thing, and like, that's cool. But yeah, her writing is, I think if you're a fan of her writing, you're gonna like it sort of no matter what she does. So, you know, maybe this will be the last Shadowhunter. We're sort of running out of things for it to be prequels of at this point, so maybe
The Last Hours is just like a later look at the characters from A Clockwork Angel.
Yeah.
The Dark Artifices is going to be set in LA, and it's going to be the children of, or the great-grandchildren of the people from one of the other series. Like, it's all over the place. Like,
yeah,
from the Clockwork Princess series. Like, yeah, it's, or the Clockwork series. It's all over.
Yeah.
Like, everything's connected. The family tree is massive at this point.
I think The Dark Artifices is like more of a sequel to Mortal Instruments. And then this one will be connected to Clockwork.
But the characters in The Dark Artifices are related to the characters from The Clockwork.
They're all related. It's so incestual.
Yes.
Jess, actually, I have a question about that, because you had an insanely popular series, and, you know, you had this really cool idea with the angels and everything. Do you ever feel tempted to just to go back and write more?
Not yet. I mean, it won't ever happen, but I'm really kind of flighty in a way, and so writing the 5 books in the one world, I was so ready to do something else. And it's not saying which way is right or wrong. I think that Cassandra Clare is amazing, and her success speaks for itself, and that's a reflection of, you know, her readers and who are following her. But I kind of, I don't know, as a reader and as a writer, I get to a point where I'm like, you know, I'm about done there. And I think for me, when I went into writing the series, I was really adamant that I would stop when I felt the story had been told, not to stay. It wasn't about staying in the world. It was just about telling the story. So, but that's just me. So no prequels.
No. Sorry, fans.
All right, so let's see. Yes. And because we already had our JK stories, now we're going to move on to Emma Watson, who is going to actually executive produce The Queen of the Tierling. She spoke to Wonderland Magazine, where she did that guest editor stint, and where they had that the interview with her and JK Rowling. So we're going to looked at some comments that she said. It said, she's kind of said, I would never do franchises again, so I was desperate to hate it. Unfortunately, I didn't sleep for about a week because I couldn't put the bloody thing down. It would be fair to say I became obsessed with the role and the book. Now I'm executive producing it. So that's kind of big news that she's actually executive producing it and starring in it.
The only one that's read it, so is she going to be good?
Yeah, no, I think she'll be brilliant in it. I really do. She's got the right balance to do what needs to be done in the role.
I also think it's awesome. I mean, the fact that she's executive producing is amazing and good for her. But I really like what she said about, you know, I was all ready to hate it. I wanted to stay away from franchises and that sort of thing. And she fell in love with it anyway. I mean, hopefully that's really kind of a testament to what kind of book and series this is going to be, and then it's really going to take off and do well. I mean, everybody that I know of that's heard about it is pretty excited, so I can't wait to get my hands on it, Jen.
I can be bribed, Karen, I'm just saying.
I've decided.
I'm closer.
But I'm more annoying. And this is a documented fact. Go back through episodes of Book Hype. You want to test me on this, Karen? Bring it.
I'm the nice one, yeah, no. So I guess I will let you have it.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Jess, do you have any thoughts about the Queen of the Tierling? Have you heard much about it?
No, to be honest, I don't know much about it. So but like looking at all this, I've clearly been had my head buried, and I need to like find out what is going on. So pretty much as soon as we finish this call, I'll be like looking into it. But it looks really good. And I'm a huge Emma Watson fan. I think she's really, I like her a lot. So I'll be checking it out for sure.
All right. So now we're going to talk about some new book deals that are coming out. So as always, we'll talk about them now and we'll maybe get to read them in a year or so. But it's kind of fun to get excited about things. So this first one is from debut author Maya Rock. She was a former Writer House junior agent. So Writer House is a huge agency in New York. So it's really cool that she kind of came out of there, because lots of really good authors are with that agency. So it's really interesting that that's where she came from. So she sold World Rights to Scripted, and it's a young adult novel. And the book follows a girl living on an island where people disappear. And the island is like Truman Show-esque, and the characters are caught unbeknownst to the inhabitants if the ratings dip too low. So I think that has the potential to be really, really cool.
This sounds amazing. I love The Truman Show so much.
Yeah, sounds I just creepy. Think it's such a cool idea. It does. It has the potential to be super creepy, which I really like, because I love it when, you know, they get a little edgy and creepy. But like, it just says they get cut. Like, what does that mean? Do they get offed, or do they just, you know, get taken off the island? It, like, kind how does
of,
that work?
Kind of reminds me of that episode in Doctor Who where it's like the Bad Wolf episode and they're all on the game shows. That's what I'm thinking about. And they get zapped out of there.
Yes! I was just thinking the robots, like, no, vibes.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So that we have to look forward to, probably not until like 2015, unfortunately, which makes me sad. And then the next one is called The Law of Loving Others, and it's a YA from debut author Kate Axelrod. And it says, Emma returns home from boarding school to find that her mother is having a schizophrenic breakdown, and her boyfriend pulls away when she needs him most. Emma mingles newfound freedoms with the devastating implications of her mother's illness. And this book is set for January 2015. This one sounds way more serious, but I always find it interesting when books take on challenging topics like schizophrenia and mental health issues, because sometimes they get it really, really right, and sometimes they get it really, really wrong. So I'll be interested to read that one just because of the topics that are covered in it. What do you guys think about that one?
Yeah, I don't know. I think because when we all read 17 and Gone, and I know some of you guys really liked it, but I wasn't a big fan of how it dealt with the issue of schizophrenia. So I think that sort of put me off it a little bit, because, like you said, I worry a little bit about how they deal with issues like that. So maybe you can read it first and then let me know. Or I'll just be annoyed. Yeah, let's do that.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, I think so.
This one's really interesting to me because I initially thought that all of the Throne of Glass books were optioned at the same time, but they weren't. So Sarah J. Maas has sold the last three of the Throne of Glass series to Bloomsbury, which is her current publisher on that. So the first book in her new series, A Court of Thrones and Roses, will be released in 2015. So I guess it's going to be broken up into two separate series, if I'm reading this correctly.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute, because that's when I initially read it, that's not what I understood, but hey. So she also has, if you guys ever read the ebooks that were initially released a couple months ago, over like several months, those will all now be in one bound book. So if you are like us and like all of your pretty books in one location in all nice covers, that will come out as The Assassin's Blade in this month, or in March. And then The Court of Thrones and Roses will come out in spring of 2015. So some more things to look forward to from Sarah Maas.
The real question is, how much do you think Bloomsbury had to pay to get those last few titles?
I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't say, because oftentimes it'll say what kind of...
Yeah, they'll say six-figure deal in capital letters.
So the next book is called Lady Birds, and I don't know if I just read this on my own or if we had talked about this at a different point in time, but it's by UK author Jenny McLaughlin, and it's pitched as Geek Girl meets Dirty Dancing, which I love the movie Dirty Dancing, so I'm all for a book like this. It says in book one, Flirty Dancing, a girl signs up for classes so she can enter a national dance competition and discovers her dance partner is the hottie who just happens to be the bully, Queen Bee's boyfriend, and the kindest boy in school. Yeah, it sounds girly and sappy, but I love Dirty Dancing, so I will read it just for the fact that it may be like that. I'm just saying. What do you guys think? Yeah, it has that cute vibe, right?
Yeah, I would probably, like, read it if I wasn't reading anything else. You know, that doesn't sound like a very, like, thrilling endorsement, but you know what I mean? It just sounds like an easy kind of read that you would sort of breeze through.
Everyone needs a Sunday afternoon read.
Exactly.
You know, such a great value, and, like, who doesn't love the whole Dirty Dancing thing?
Exactly. That's why, I don't know, I'm excited. And then the last one is... This one sounded really cool because it's from Roland Smith, and it's called Hoodoo, and it's a Southern Gothic middle grade novel set in rural 1930s Alabama, and it'll be two books, and it's a story about a boy from a long line of folk magic conjurers, and he must unravel a web of family secrets and overcome his inability to cast a simple spell in order to defeat a stranger who wants to use the darker powers of hoodoo for evil. I think that sounds super, like, cool and creepy. It's a middle grade, but I'll probably give it a shot anyway.
Yeah, that does sound really interesting. I usually like middle grade books, and that one definitely seems like it has potential, and potential for being creepy, which apparently is my thing lately, so.
What?
I just like creepy books. I don't know. I'm going through a phase.
Yes, exactly. She read that one Stephen King novel and it's all over now.
Oh, yeah. She's done.
Okay. So those are the new book deals that from this past couple of weeks. So those look really interesting. Something to keep an eye on in the future. And Merrima, do you want to do listener feedback?
Sure. I would love to do listener feedback. So first of all, I feel like we just need to say, in response to your trolling on Twitter about what people are reading, everyone's just jealous and upset about, you know, you getting to read Queen of Teeling. So Tucker said, nothing now, but oh man, that book doesn't come out until July and I'm jealous. Yeah, so are we, Tucker. And Noelle said, oh my God, not fair. I don't want to wait until July, and neither do we. So you guys, Jen put it on Twitter, so now she's fair game. So feel free to just annoy her about it. No, but don't do that. That's mean. But seriously, do that. That would be great.
If anyone annoys me, then you're not getting the book, Merrima. So just keep that in mind.
Guys, don't annoy her. Be nice yes. to Jen.
Yes.
I really need to read this book.
Karen's all like, troller, so Merrima won't get it next.
Now all of the trolls are going to be like Karen pseudonyms. I'm just saying.
No. No.
Karen, are you secretly signing up for multiple Twitter accounts as we speak?
No.
Okay. And then just going back to our book cover discussion, John said, I do like the new Lightning Thief cover, but I don't feel that a redesign was necessary. So, Karen, was that that's sort of how you were thinking, but because they're pretty similar, but you like
them.
Yeah,
I think, they are nice. So, and, you know, hopefully you can still get your hands on the originals, or, I mean, the books have been around for a while, so maybe if you don't like the new covers, you know, you can just keep your originals.
I really do like the new covers. If I was going to buy them, if I ever get around to reading those books, which I know I promised you, like, a year ago, I will get the new covers, because I like them a lot more.
You did promise me that a long time
ago. I know, and also the Merlin books.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anybody has read that yet. Like,
I did.
And then he just stopped, yeah. I think.
I bought the Grasshopper Jungle, though, so I'll report back on that.
To hear, what you have to say about that one.
It might not be appropriate for a podcast. And then Shelley said, thanks to Book Hype, Vampire Academy is next on my to-read list. So you're welcome, Shelley. And then finally, Jerry B., I'm very sorry that I've probably mispronounced your name, said, do you have any recommendations for poetry collections? I know you don't really discuss it on the show, but I was just wondering. So does anyone read poetry on the side? Is that a thing that people do on this show?
I do not.
Apparently not.
I was going to say, I take that as a no. I don't really read. I guess I don't really read sort of contemporary poetry. I mean, you know, there are lots of great poets you can check out. If you're interested in that, though, I did read a book that was kind of in like a verse book, and it was called Run by Tim Sinclair, who's an Australian author, and it was about parkour. I may have talked about this previously. It's about parkour, and it's sort of written. Yeah, it's kind of you know, it's meant to be in that style of like spoken verse. So it's sort of poetry in that way, which you may want to check out. But why don't you tell us what kind of poetry you read? Because it sounds like you know what's happening and we obviously don't. And that's it for listener feedback this week.
All right. Well, once again, we would like to thank Jess Trevington for being our guest tonight. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, guys. You do such a good job with this podcast.
Oh, thanks. And I feel like we should plug once again. So Jess's new book is Disruption, and that will be out on the 24th of March in Australia and New Zealand. And people in the United States have the final book in her Embrace series to look forward to, and also One Past Midnight, which is coming out later this year.
Yep, basically May and July,
yep.
I think, are the months that we should be on the lookout for her new books, which is awesome. All right, so that pretty much wraps up this episode of Book Hype. So thanks again for listening. And as always, leave your feedback. Tell us what you think about covers that switch mid-series, because you know how we feel. We're not fans. And tell us how everything is going in the book world for you. Let us know what you're reading, all those exciting things. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
I'm Merrima.
And I'm Jess.
Yep.
All right.
Yes, you are.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Goodbye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.